Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Hour number two of the Bill Michaels Show. We are glad you are on board today on this cold, snowy day. I don't need to tell you it's crappy outside. We all know that. Hunker down, warm yourself up, get a glass of whatever it happens to be that makes you feel good, and sit back and relax. Got a lot to talk about. The Bucks last night get knocked off in kind of lethargic fashion down in Indy last night, and it just didn't look good. And it was a team to me that looked as if they knew they were 5-0 without Giannis. We had heard some things, obviously, yesterday. You heard Chris Middleton and company talking about how, hey, they're still a very good basketball team, even when Giannis doesn't play. And we all know, look, they are good. There's no doubt about that. But Giannis takes them to a whole other level, and we also know that as well. But they get beat last night, 118-111, and the Pacers got the win. The Bucks now 46-8 on the season, 21-5 away from the five-serve forum. The Pacers go to 32-23, 19-10 at home. Irsan Ilyasova with 12. You had Middleton drop 17. But nobody really kind of just went off last night. You know, it wasn't a great night shooting-wise for Chris Middleton, 6 of 17 on the evening. Brooke Lopez dropped 12 last night, but he was 3 of 9. Bledsoe, 15 points last night, 4 of 11 shooting, 0 beyond the arc, as a matter of fact, although he did get to the free throw line 7 times and was 7 for 7. But it wasn't a big night. I mean, DiVincenzo was the guy that really kind of stepped in, 8 of 14 and 3 of 7 beyond the arc last night. Dante DiVincenzo had a hell of a game. But, you know, DJ Wilson, Thanasis, they didn't play last evening. And it just, they got off to a slow start before they tried to really kind of battle back. But last night, now, I know this is going to be kind of weird for me to say, but I was kind of glad last night they got knocked off. It gives you, you know, first of all, Giannis, you would assume he was just itching to get back and help his team. And I'm sure he watched last night. So he's itching to get back after becoming a new father. And the guys that were starting to believe that, yeah, no big deal, we can win without Giannis, that's something that slaps you back into focus. Now you've got some time to go think about it. Because the last game that you're going to have for the next 8 days is going to be a loss, and an ugly loss at that, to the Indiana Pacers. So last night, to me, yeah, it's a loss, and you never want to see them lose. They're 46-8, you know, going into the All-Star break. They could have gone in 40 games over 500 going to the All-Star break. When's that going to ever happen again, you know? But I think it was a good thing. When the Pacers pulled away late, they beat the Bucks. The Pacers get the win. The Bucks, they take the loss. But I'm looking at this thing as a good thing all the way around. It was good. You know what was weird last night was seeing Adam Schefter do reports last night for ESPN on the sidelines of a basketball game. That's their injury report football guy. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. He's done sports before, and he did sports in New York and such. But, you know, just to see, it was weird to see him on the sideline last night, watching that game last evening. But the Bucks take the loss. They get knocked off. Now they've got some time to think about it. Get ready, Pat Connaughton. He's going to be in the slam dunk competition. You're going to have Chris Middleton. You're going to have Giannis in the All-Star game weekend, which is taking place in Chicago. And everybody's going to start landing in Chicago later tonight or tomorrow. And then the weekend gets underway, and it's a celebration of basketball. So there you have it.
I was watching that game last night, and I was just so tempted to turn it off right in the middle of the second quarter, because it was just a game that the Bucks, they weren't going to win. I mean, you looked at it from so many different ways. There were so many turnovers by the Bucks. It was sloppy basketball. I mean, Indiana took 12 turnovers and turned it into 27 points. They were out shooting the Bucks in the first half. It was like 66% from the field to like 35% for the Bucks. I mean, it was so awful. And yet the Bucks find a way to get back into that game and actually get within 4 points in the fourth quarter. And really, I think what killed that comeback, Bill, was the fact that they were down 4 at the 8-minute mark. They give up a corner 3, the Bucks, and then Eric Bledsoe tries to do something that I don't want Eric Bledsoe to be doing much of going forward, is trying to be Superman, and he jacked up this contested 3 with Malcolm Brogdon on him, and there was still 16 seconds left on that shot clock. He misses it, and then in transition, the Pacers answer with another 3, and then at that point, that kind of put things out of reach. I mean, the Bucks still had a chance to, you know, chip away at that, but I think all the momentum you had at that very moment went out the window because Eric Bledsoe tried to do a little too much. Eric Bledsoe should be attacking the basket, not shooting three-pointers. There's other guys he can go to for that, and I just think that was a little forced last night, and I kind of think that's why the Bucks couldn't pull off that upset.
So last night they came, you know, kind of flurrying back. Just never happened, but you know, I sat there last night. I'm like a lot of fans now where I just wanted to stack wins. Get to 70, get to 72, get to, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, you know, but in the grand scheme of thing, when the game was done, and there were some people sitting next to us last night down at Stenny's, and the game was winding down. They said, that's it. You know, the Bucks go to the All-Star break with a loss, blah, blah, blah. And some guy's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And I looked at him and I said, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. I was talking to people off the ledge last night. This is a good thing. Because now everything Coach Budenholzer's been telling them, don't let up, can't take anybody lightly, you can't get over your skis and think you're better than what you are, there's always a team out there that's going to knock you off. This is a good thing. So I'm looking for a ball of energy and rejuvenation and focus and such when this team comes back from the All-Star break. I think they're a really good team. They were a little bit tired, they were lethargic, and maybe they believed their own press clippings a little bit, that they were 5-0, and they didn't need Giannis, and they do need Giannis. So I don't think it was a bad thing last night. The Bucks got knocked off. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? Feel free to go ahead and give us a shout, because I would love to hear from you if you kind of feel the same about all of this. Because I'm not concerned. I'm really not. I still think the Bucks are the best team in the NBA. I think the only thing they have to do is figure themselves out when it comes to learning how to win in the postseason. Once you learn how to win and you feel that you cannot be beaten, you play with a certain level of confidence in the postseason, and then it really comes down to just the X's and the O's with the guys, and the best player takes over a ball game, then you're well on your way to a championship. And I think that they're really, really, really close. One of the other big stories of the day, and I do want to talk about this, Houston Astro players Bregman, and Jose Altuve, they apologized in statements for their roles in the team's sign-stealing scheme. They came to a news conference. The Astros, by the way, they opened up their spring training camp in West Palm Beach, Florida. They said, I'm really sorry about the choices that we made by the team, by the organization, and by me. At least when they got to that point and I went, oh, okay, at least they said by me too. It's kind of like blaming everybody else. I have learned from this and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans, Bregman said. Altuve said they had a, quote, great team meeting on Wednesday night and said the whole Astros organization feels bad. They're laughing all the way to the bank with their rings. Okay, they got their rings. I especially feel remorse for the impact on our fans in the game of baseball. Doesn't really say, you know, hey, we cheated. It just says we have remorse. In other words, we feel really bad we got caught doing this. You know? Now, the apologies are a bit of a change from the responses that the teams kind of gave at FanFest last month when nobody wanted to show remorse. And what's happened is when they didn't show remorse, the whole baseball world looked at them and said, screw you. We want to figure out ways to punish you. And then they realized, uh-oh, this is serious. So now they're trying to put a remorseful face on this, saying, well, we're all responsible. No, I want to know who was really responsible, okay? Altuve, were you wearing a buzz device on your shoulder? You know, is that the reason nobody was allowed to rip your jersey off on a walk-off, okay? When you're telling everybody, don't rip it off, because everybody would see that you're cheating even more so than what everybody expected, or at least what came out in the report. When we heard about all this kind of stuff, I don't believe that when Major League Baseball says, no, there's nothing more to it than that, I don't believe Major League Baseball one iota. You know why? Because if Major League Baseball came out and said, it's kind of like finding a guy that claims he was juicing, but he wasn't, and he only took a gummy and this and that, but then you catch the guy with a needle hanging out of his butt. If Altuve was actually caught with a buzzing device on his shoulder, a wire on him, that's the equivalent of having a needle hanging out of your butt. And there is nothing you can ever do to put the blank back in the horse after that. You will forever be labeled as a cheater. And in addition to that, there has got to be punishment. And basically, the Players Association, again, instead of standing up for the players that got shelled and watched their ERAs climb and teams that lost games, they're standing up for the cheaters, the liars, those that are trying to put one over on the fans and on others and other players in the game. They're standing up for them, which makes me just have more and more disdain for the Players Association. But think about it this way. Suppose you're a guy that's coming up in the system. You get called up. Your first couple of outings, 2-3 outings, are pretty good. And then you go in to Houston and you play the Astros. And you get shelled. You give up 3, 4, 5 runs in 2/3 of an inning. And you're like, what the hell, man? I had good stuff. It was like they knew it was coming. And you get shelled, and all of a sudden you get sent back down to the minors. That's part of your career, man. You can't get that back. You know, your coaches are saying, well, you have to be either tipping pitches or your stuff just isn't working. Better luck next time in the bigs, kid. You know, and meanwhile, you got these guys laughing all the way to the bank. They're collecting rings. You know? I mean, that's why I feel that Major League Baseball has completely failed in actually chastising these players, not only publicly, but suspending them for a long period of time. Now, some are going to say that, hey, there's some players on that Houston Astros team that weren't there last year. So why would you want to suspend a lot of players off of that team and hurt the team and be a detriment to the team this year when guys came into the system looking to win again? Okay, I understand that. And unfortunately, you're collateral damage. But I think the fact that Major League Baseball did not suspend these clowns is absolutely appalling, which is one of the reasons if I'm a baseball fan, I'm screaming for Rob Manfred to step down, because Rob Manfred has no cojones up there. He has no credibility when he stands there and says, well, this is all it was. You're a liar. You're a flat-out liar. We all know it. Everybody knows it, and you're a liar, and you're protecting the guys that cheated, and that's what bothers me the most. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michael Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network.
Glad you are back. Hopefully you're having a good day today. Hey, our friends over at Pella Windows and Doors reminding you the home show going on, and they want you to stop out. I know it's a little bit cold, but hey, go out, get inside, walk around. There's a lot of things going on, both inside homes, outside homes. They've got the home show going on, and you can take a look at maybe some of the spring things that the DIY projects you want done, or maybe some things that you can get done around the house. But one of them, especially right now, if you're sitting next to a window in your home, or you do at night when you want to go snuggle in and get all cozied in, and then you're realizing, holy mackerel, these windows are cold. Not mine! I hate to be arrogant like that, but it's true. Our friends at Pella Windows and Doors, they remind you that now is the time to replace them and start saving some money. They've got the great financing, which was carried over from last month, which is 10 years, 2.99%, or 18 months, 0%. But the windows and doors are second to none. They're just absolutely, positively fantastic. And they do everything. They measure, they make them, they install them, they warranty them. I mean, it's just everything Pella does is fantastic, and I can't swear by them enough. I really can't. Go to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. And oh, by the way, they have been so successful at converting so many of you, okay? Not just taking my word for it, but their word for it and everything else, and other people have spread the word, that they have people calling all the time now. So if you are an installer and you're looking for work or maybe looking for premium pay, that's what they're offering. So go to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. They have career opportunities there as well. if you're a window or door installer. Plus, if you're not a master craftsman, that's okay. They want good people that are willing to work and then do the job and put the time in, and they can put you on site training as well. So a lot of good things going on over at Pella. Go to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com and see for yourself what it is I've been telling you about. So when I had mentioned this a little while ago, the thing about baseball, many of you, I guess, agree. It's an interesting topic because how do you feel as a baseball fan? I mean, it's interesting when you have players, pitchers specifically, that said, look, I'd rather face off against a guy that I know is juicing rather than a guy that knows what's coming, knows the pitches that are coming. I mean, that's a loud, loud statement. So I just wanted to kind of bring it up and get your thoughts on that, because I think baseball has not done enough to protect your interest. You know, I mean, there's people that are demanding money back because the games in Houston were rigged. I mean, that's what it comes down to. The games were rigged. You know, when you know what pitch is coming, I mean, you still have to hit it, yes, but it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to do it when you know what's coming. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Our buddy Steven Richfield says, I couldn't agree with you more that Rob Manfred needs to step down or the owners call for his head. The Astro players are pompous, arrogant, and that needs to be reprimanded. But the spineless jellyfish that is Rob Manfred will not do a damn thing. I would like to hear an interview with Bud Selig and get his take on this. Something tells me that he wouldn't turn the other cheek. After what he's been through, I think that this will spill over into the regular season with the Astros being thrown at numerous times. This is going to be a crazy season to watch as it unfolds. That's our buddy Steve in Richfield. Now, Bud, how Bud handled the steroid, scandal. People knew about it, okay? And Bud knew about it, and it bothered him, all right? And it wasn't until Mark McGwire was pressing the home run record, okay? And then somebody was interviewing him in front of his locker, and they said, what's that? And he had a little vial. And then they saw it was Androstein. We all know Androstein is a steroid, okay? And it wasn't illegal in baseball. As long as you had a doctor's note to be taking it, you could be taking it. Could have been for a muscle tear or whatever, but he didn't. So that's at the point that we went, oh, well, that's the reason Mark McGwire's biceps are bigger than most people's thighs. Oh, okay, now we get it. And then when you put it into the holiest of sanctity, and that is going after Roger Maris's home run record, wait a minute. We want to see balls fly out of the ballpark as fans, but you can't do it illegally. So Bud knew he had blood on his hands. So he tried to get Donald Fehr, the head of the players' union, to come to the table. Donald wouldn't hear of it. So Bud does the wink and a nod to Congress. Oh, by the way, there's this competition committee, this revenue committee, this finance committee for fair and competitive sales or something like that. It was some kind of backdoor to then say, it's going to be a black eye for baseball, but for the betterment of the game, wink, wink, nod, nod, boy, don't bring us to Capitol Hill to testify under oath. Oh, don't do that. And then, oh, Tom Dasher went, yeah, I think maybe we should. So Bud gets up there and gets humiliated. But then here comes Donald Fehr. And Donald Fehr with the smug look. And kind of like when David Stern says, there's nobody cheating in our game of basketball. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. So Donald Fehr comes to Capitol Hill. And he is humiliated. Humiliated. Players come up and they're wagging their finger. Rafael Palmeiro, I'm not doing that. And then he tests positive. And finally, it's like, you're a bunch of liars and cheaters. And so they had no choice but to relinquish and say, okay, we'll allow drug testing. We want to clean the game up. Because there's a lot of players that were doing it clean and they're getting beat out by guys that aren't. Which means you're ultimately, as a brotherhood, you're costing each other money. You're cannibalizing one another. So why more players aren't upset about this and aren't demanding that other players get suspended for this kind of behavior, I have no idea. But the fact that the Players Association gives more of a damn about the players that cheated than the ones that didn't, it's just beyond me. It's just, look, if a guy gets caught smoking pot and there's questionable circumstances, go to bat for that guy, okay? Give him fair representation. But when you've got guys that are blatantly cheating against other guys you represent, my question, if I'm inside that Players Association, I'm like, whose interests are you representing here? Me or the cheaters? Because I'm the one doing it clean, and I'm doing it the right way. And because I don't play for the Astros, I don't deserve fair representation. So that's why this whole thing has just been such a terrible, terrible taste in my mouth throughout the entire process here. Yes, they got the information they wanted, but to give blanket immunity to any player because you didn't want to deal with the Players Association? Come on. Come on. You're the commissioner of baseball. This is more egregious than steroids, for God's sakes. This is just outright cheating. Wiring up cameras into your clubhouses to cheat and steal. Why don't you just put microphones in the opponent's clubhouses, for God's sakes? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Lee Vandehay says, regarding the Astros, what if the new rules were in place and the pitchers needed to face a minimum of three batters? He's getting shelled and needs to stay in the game while the batters are cheating. Abso-freaking-lutely. Great point. Great point. You know, now sign-stealing has gone on with guys on second base for a long time. And that's where you should mix up the signs and you should change things. But banging on garbage cans, buzzing guys on the shoulder electronically, come on. Come on, man. That's why baseball just, this isn't going away anytime soon. The more people think about it, the more outraged they get. And the more arrogant the Astros organization is, the more people get pissed off at baseball about it. This portion of the program brought to you by good friends over at New Mail Medical. Treating guys, but they don't cheat. They don't cheat. Look. You need some help? They got it. Medical experts over at New Mail Medical. They can help you out. They can help you bring your love life back, your energy back, your mood back, help you lose a little weight loss, lose a few of the pounds. They've got it going on, but it's up to you to call. All you got to do is call. That's it. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That is the New Mail Medical Center. But you can't do anything to help yourself if you don't call. So give them a buzz. It's as simple as that. 414-455-4451. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show. We're going to hear from Christian Yelich as well, coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain?
Welcome back. Hey, I want to remind you that Sean and the gang over at Epoxy Flooring Done Right, great people over there. Great people over there. I've used them a couple of times. I'm going to use them again. Once I get to the gym done, I'm going to have them come down. I was thinking about putting some hardwood flooring in down there, but not going to do it. I'm going to do the polyurea coating because it's so durable and washable and all that kind of stuff. That's what I'm going to use. The Epoxy Flooring Done Right people, Sean and his whole staff, they're incredible. And whether it's a homeowner or a business owner, whatever it happens to be, epoxy floorings, polyurea coatings, painting, whatever you need done in the particular room, they can do it all. And the best part about it is they warranty it for life. For life. And they're here in the state of Wisconsin. Green Bay to Milwaukee, Racine, everywhere in between. Go to epoxyflooringdoneright.com. That's epoxyflooringdoneright.com. Or just call my buddy Sean, 262-443-2852. 262-443-2852. We're going to hear from Christian Yelich coming up here momentarily. Want to go to Dave listening to us in Marshfield. Dave, how you doing, buddy? What's going on, pal?
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet.
I'd just like to make a comment on the sign stealing.
Yeah.
I think it's not only a slap in the face. I think it's an insult to not just the players, but the fans. The fans are out there trying to watch the game. And it's one thing if a guy's throwing a fastball and you happen to notice he puts his foot in a certain way. Okay, I get a clue what's going on there.
Right.
But to have this just completely go unpunished and to turn your back on it is an insult to the fan. Because as a fan, you're thinking, hey, if this goes unpunished, then what's the next thing that's coming down there? If there's no consequences, does that mean the gate's wide open? And everybody that makes a $5 bet from the guy that's sitting in front of the TV going, you know, what a close game. If we just had that one more, you know, it's That's what's happening. It's, I don't know if you can quite say it's equivalent to, I mean, how easy would it be in football if we knew what play they were calling?
Right. That's kind of it. Yeah, no, I get it.
The players are that good.
Yep.
That, hey, if I know this guy is playing a fastball, that not only gives me the edge, it gives me the ticket.
Yep. No, I 100% agree. Appreciate the phone call. And I don't even want to bring the gambling aspect of this in, but we all know that a lot of the sports are driven by the point spreads and by gambling and what goes on there. Can you imagine being somebody that lost money on those games, knowing that the fix was in because players knew the pitches that were coming? I mean, it's just, I don't even want to bring that side of it in, but it's something that you obviously in today's day and age you can't ignore, specifically when you're talking about putting gambling kiosks now and making gambling public and voting it in everywhere and putting these kiosks in some of these stadiums. I mean, it's something that eventually you're going to have to seriously think about. Christian Yelich says, look, I'm feeling 100% again, all good.
I feel good, like I was pre-injury. And, you know, we've had plenty of time to recover, actually. So looking forward to being back out there.
Also, he talks about the knee and it healing.
It's good. Finally fully healthy, ready to go. Shouldn't be any limitations in spring. And nice to be healthy again.
Very short, very sweet, I guess, when it comes to Christian Yelich. He talks with Adam McAlvey, and he's going back and forth because those two guys discuss the Astros situation.
Christian, how close did you follow the Astros sign stealing issue?
There it is. we were wondering. I mean, you can't ignore it. I mean, it's definitely something that's been prevalent in the baseball news and, you know, definitely been seeing what's been going on.
Seeing what's going on, seeing what's happening. There you have it. He said the Brewers, look, because remember the Brewers, there were some rumors about the Brewers as well. Major League Baseball stood up and said, we're not investigating anybody else or anything else.
This thing's.
And so there was some talk about the Brewers, and he says, nope, we're clean.
This thing's not good for baseball. It's just not a good look. And, yeah, we have nothing to hide. We don't do anything like that. So I haven't really seen us in the news about it too much. But, yeah, there's nothing to hide from us. We haven't participated in any sign stealing. And, you know, like I said, that's going to be one of those things that's the fallout from all this is that it's just not good for the game, which is the biggest shame.
And he's right. I mean, overall for the game, there's no doubt about it. Then there's the discussion of the loss to the Nationals in the wild card game. And, you know, because, look, they ended up losing that. He wasn't a part of it. The team feels, even the Nationals still went on to win the championship, don't get me wrong, but he feels like, you know, hey, there's some extra motivation here.
I think you're always motivated. You know, there's no telling what happens if we win that game. I mean, it's last year. It's a lot of guys that aren't even here from last year, so it's a new season. Something that's really not going to affect us too much, and the goal still remains the same.
Now, when you talk about the goal remains the same, what are the expectations regarding the Milwaukee Brewers, regarding Christian Yelich coming into this season?
There's expectations and pressures and whatnot from the outside, but, you know, what you put on yourself is usually higher than that, just because you know what you're capable of, the work you put into it, all those good things.
Then he was asked, and I this is rather interesting because he was asked about, you know, they've had some turnover. There's no doubt about that. And they've obviously have some new faces in the clubhouse. And he was asked about the roster being somewhat turned around.
I mean, you knew there was the potential for it. It kind of just depends on how the offseason unfolds and what ends up happening. You just never really know. But I think we're going to be competitive. We're going to have a great team. And I think that's what we're really excited about.
The question that eventually will get asked, if it hasn't been already, is at what point would, I mean, first of all, you say, do you want to stay in Milwaukee? Yes. You know, is there discussions? Because I would love to know right now if the Brewers have approached him at all this offseason. And if he says yes, then you say, okay, was there an offer made, or without getting into the details of it? Or is it just, you know, hey, we want to start discussing keeping you? Because then there's two distinctly different narratives that story takes. If you don't ask, the question would be why. If you do ask and you say, did they start talking to you, or has there been discussion? And he says yes, okay, then you go, has there been an offer made? If he says no, it's all preliminary. Okay, then on one hand you can say, okay, good. They haven't talked about specifics and money, but now the Brewers are starting to peek over the fence and show the interest in keeping him. Okay, so they're starting to trend in that direction. If there's an offer made, he says, yeah, maybe there's an offer made, but we're still working it out. If there's an offer made, then you know the offer was made and rejected. So now you ask what the next step is. Then you can say, okay, the Brewers made an offer, but clearly it wasn't even in a ballpark. So did they do the CC Sabathia offer where we're going to give you $100 million, knowing that the Yankees have given them $125 million, then ultimately $150 million? You know, is it window dressing? So that's the next question I think that you're going to have to end up asking Christian Yelich as to where he stands in regards to staying with his team. Because then next year's offseason, I mean, you don't have to for a couple of years if you don't want to, but you'd probably like to get something done if you even possibly can sooner rather than later. And then when you ask about the roster is, yeah, they let some of the guys go that were looking for extended deals, and they brought in a bunch of one-year guys because ultimately they're saving money. Do you feel they're saving money for you? You know, so if he talks about a deal that's being made or an offer that's being made, and, well, we're still trying to work it out, well, then you know the direction the team's going. They're cutting payroll. They're trying to keep them around. And then you have to ask yourself, do you keep him around just to keep him around as a figurehead on a team that is not going to have a lot of competitiveness around him? Or do you need to think about the future of the team and how you're going to make a move? I mean, all those things then have to come into play. But that question wasn't asked. So I'm sure it will get asked at some point. But this is going to be interesting right now. And I think Christian Yelich, knowing him, he probably just wants us to stay on baseball. But I think at some point you got to ask the question. 855-830-8648. Hey, listen up. I've been telling you for a while about my friends over at Team Hochberg. And some of you have listened. Some of you haven't. And some of you are on the fence. And you ask me about it, which, look, the only thing I can give you is my personal experience and a friend of mine who's had a personal experience with Team Hochberg. And when it comes to refis and such, the bottom line is this, okay? They can help save you money. Even if it's the most basic of things where interest rates are coming down and you want to refi your house, or you're a first-time homeowner and you want to try to purchase a home, or you want to go with a reverse mortgage because you're getting up there in years and you want to make sure that your golden years are solidified. I mean, there's so many different ways that they can help you. Me, it's not bankruptcy. It's not paying off credit cards. It's not any of that. It's I signed for a particular interest rate a year and a half ago. The interest rates have dropped. My property has gone up. I have more value there. And I want my payments to go down for the same amount of money. And I called David. David's like, okay. And going to a bank, I bank with a local bank here. And they basically said there's nothing they can do, which I looked at them. I went, really? This is what you do. You lend money. And they said, no, we're going to hold firm to this for at least one more year, and then we'll discuss it. I'm like, why should I pay out $800 more a month when I don't have to? When I keep the same terms, basically, but I just lower the interest rate. That's what Team Hochberg does. That's what David did. So they got great people there. All you have to do is call 855-56-DAVID. That's 855-56-DAVID. 855-563-2843. 855-563-2843. Pick up the phone and call and save yourself a bunch of money. Or you can research, go to 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Or, like I said, 855-563-2843. That's 855-56-DAVID. Easy way to remember it, but 855-563-2843. They're part of Homeside Financial, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 112-4061. Do what I did. Start saving some money. Let's talk a little hockey. NHL, AHL, all that kind of good stuff. Coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Glad to have you. Thanks for hanging out with us for a couple of minutes. Always appreciate that. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, time to talk a little hockey as the hockey season fully underway. And here in our own backyard, our own AHL team doing extremely well. But to talk anything and everything that is hockey, our good buddy Aaron Sims, the voice of the Milwaukee Admirals, joining us. Aaron, how you been, pal?
Hi, Bill. I'm great, thanks. It's a beautiful day. What, 10 degrees? The Admirals are heading to Winnipeg this weekend, so it's warming us up for that, so to speak.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask, and I know this is completely off the sports path, but how's the new dog taken to the ice?
Bender has been great. Bender has taken on an entirely new PR attention for the Admirals, I guess. That's not the best way to say it, but... Yeah, he's been good. He was on the ice a couple of times and seems to be figuring it out. So it's been fun to have him around.
For those that don't know, the Admirals have a new dog, and the dog is cute as hell, and they've been bringing the puppy on the ice, and they've got a lot of videos. So follow the Admirals on Instagram and on Facebook and such. You'll see it there all the time. So I want to start out in the NHL real quick, just to kind of pick your brain a little bit. Boston on top in the Atlantic, Washington on top in the Metropolitan. The Blackhawks, for many of Blackhawks fans in the area, they are right now sucking swamp water in the bottom of the Central and the Western Conference. But the St. Louis Blues are back in a big way. Nashville, the parent company for you guys, just a step above the Blackhawks. What is going on over in the Central, man?
It's been what we thought it would to a degree, in the fact that St. Louis has been very good. Dallas has been good for the most part. Chicago has been a little better, and it's funny because we think maybe Chicago is going to sneak in, and then they drop back a little bit, and they're hovering around. I think Chicago is probably where we thought they would be this season, although they have made some very shrewd moves over the last couple of seasons, and they're going to get back sooner than they are later. They've got some money tied up and all of that. Once they figure out everything going on there, that Chicago Blackhawks team is going to be pretty good. Nashville is one of the most head-scratching teams that there is. On paper, I think a lot of people in the offseason were going to give them the Stanley Cup, and it just hasn't worked out. Whether it's chemistry, they've changed the coaches, they've tried to do a lot of different things. The goaltending has not been good, which historically it always has been. So, It's been a very, very strange season. St. Louis is a team to watch, though. They could very well repeat. They've been magnificent all year, although they had the scary incident with Jay Bouwmeester where he had a cardiac event on the bench the other night, and they had to revive him with some paddles. So he seems to be okay, but whether he comes back or he likely won't come back this season. Hopefully he comes back sometime in his career. But St. Louis... they might be in the market for another defenseman because Jay Bouwmeester is a guy that plays, gives them a lot of minutes. So the Central has been pretty good. The Pacific, I don't know that there's anything that really stands out in the West. It's kind of the Central, and as you said, Boston and Washington are the two teams that I really look at this year.
I look at Nashville, and they've had just a myriad of injuries. Yarncroc has been down with that injury. Their center, Ellis, is on the injury reserve. Sissons has been on the – I mean, just there's so many guys that have been just banged up. Has it just been injuries this year because that have really kind of been detrimental to the Predators, or has it been other things?
No, it's been other things. Their best players have not been their best players. There have been a few injury problems, like Victor Arvidsson has been hurt, but – his points per game, his shots per game are down a great deal. Roman Josi has been playing at an all-world caliber, playing like an all-world caliber defenseman, and should be in the conversation with John Carlson. They should be 1-2 in the Norris Trophy discussion at the end of the season for the league's best defenseman. But other than that, Nashville has been, excuse me, one big disappointment. Ryan Johansson's not putting up points like he has in the past. Matt Duchene is not really doing that. Kyle Turris, and they have a lot of money tied up in these guys, in those three particularly. So when they're struggling, it's just been rough. And then on top of that, like I said, at least through the first two-thirds of the season, Pekka and Yusei Saros, who have been arguably the best goaltending tandem in hockey for the last couple of seasons, they've been the worst goaltending tandem in hockey this season. And it just, for whatever reason, everything is just off in Nashville this year. That being said, the guys who have been performing very well were in Milwaukee this season. Yakov Trenin went up, and he's been magnificent for them. Colin Blackwell has gone up and given the Predators a lot of great minutes. Jared Tenorti, the Admirals' captain, has found himself on the second pairing as a defenseman in the absence of Ryan Ellis. So The guys who have gone up from Milwaukee have shown very well, and we're very excited about that.
I know you guys got a lot of stuff coming up, and I want to make sure that we get some of the Admirals chatter in. You guys, first of all, coming off of a nice 2-1 win last night. You're back at it again tonight with some AHL TV to go along with it. The same thing coming up this weekend. But you've got performances coming up. You've got Darren Hader bobblehead coming up. You got a championship jersey coming up. You've got coming up in March. I know that you guys have REO Speedwagon, the post-game conference or concert coming up. I mean, you guys got a lot of stuff coming up down at the UW Panther Arena.
Yeah, it's the 50th season of Admirals hockey. We're wearing every jersey. Then you mentioned next weekend, Darren Hadar, full of first on the 19th. The Admirals are back home, and that's against second-place Iowa. That's going to be a huge game. Iowa is red hot, and they're starting to nip at the heels of the Admirals, despite the fact that the Admirals have points in all but 9 games this year. So that's going to be a heck of a hockey game. And then on the 21st, Darren Hadar bobblehead night, plus Darren will be there. The Admirals will retire his number. Just the 6th number retired in Admirals history. The Admirals will wear their 2004 Calder Cup championship jerseys that weekend, and those will be auctioned off to benefit the MS Society. Darren Hadar was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis a few years ago while he was still playing in the American Hockey League, and it's a cause near and dear to Darren, obviously, and to the Admirals, so the proceeds will go to that. And then the 22nd of February, that same weekend, Russell Dickerson, country star, will perform a post-game concert. Like you said, REO Speedwagon is coming up in March. There's a lot of cool things going on. You can go to MilwaukeeAdmirals.com and find out all about it.
There you go, buddy. I love a radio man that knows he's going to hit the post. It's always a pleasure, Aaron. You be good. We'll talk to you soon. Best of luck. You guys are kicking ass right now. Way to go.
Thanks, Bill. It's been fun. Thank you, Tom.
Talk to you later. The Milwaukee Admirals' best record in the AHL, and a big one coming up, like you said, with Iowa, who's only a couple of points back. Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.